This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at @itswilltime and at @BarnettJake. On today's show, previewing the WWE Draft, Part 2. So Jake, it's technically tomorrow. Well, at least we're recording the next show, which no one listening technically knows that we just finished recording the show that ran yesterday on the All Access feed, but I feel like you and I could be honest about that.
I don't see any harm in it other than people rolling their eyes at us right now.
Yeah, because this is not the stuff good podcasts are made of. So we talked about our number one picks. Let's talk about surprises. Guys who maybe you don't expect to be even eligible for the draft or around the draft that you could see being picked as a part of the draft. Before we get to NXT call-ups, there have been amorphous rumors of a lot of returning stars. I haven't heard a ton of names of the returning stars, so I'm kind of curious to see what guys end up, if those rumors end up coming to fruition, and if they do, what guys end up filling out the rosters to make sure that WWE has enough talent here? Do you have any thoughts on who kind of the older folk coming back could be?
You know, I'm sort of torn on whether the rumored older talents, and I've heard, you know, like Shelton Benjamin and MVP and people like that tossed around, if they're going to be called up to the main roster and drafted in surprise moves at some point late in the draft, or if they're going to supplant the NXT call-ups because they, you know, they want to have more veterans working in and around the NXT tours and doing the NXT house shows and that kind of stuff in Florida, where, you know, they could use some star power to actually draw some money. Because I think as of this point, aside from major shows that they do in Brooklyn, or, you know, when they go around the country and sell out in areas they don't normally tour, NXT is not like a moneymaker in terms of what they're doing on the road. So I could see them going that route if, you know, the Finn Balors and the Shinsuke Nakamuras of the world end up making their way to the main show as a part of the draft. Then, you know, you can supplant those people with your, you know, returning stars that can also, you know, spend some time with these younger talents and get them, you know, the kind of education that you can only get working with somebody who's more experienced than you.
And I think that's a great way to use older talent in general. I think that's a really, it's a fun idea, and it's kind of what NXT has been doing for a while, and they've been caught up with being kind of the super indie in a way. And it works, but it's also nice to have the solid guys. Like, you know, MVP isn't your super indie guy, but MVP is someone who can help all of the wrestlers in NXT in some way or another. So I think that would be a really nice pick. And either someone who, like you said, ends up on the main roster, they're in that mid-card, lower mid-card scene, they're filling out a spot because you need spots now, or they're down in Florida working those Florida shows and the NXT touring shows to make sure that NXT actually tries to draw some money. And especially if NXT ends up devoid of a lot of talent, then you need guys to take that place. And that's kind of the next thing. Who do you see from NXT being called up in the draft? I used the draft tool on WWE.com, and they don't give you the option of putting NXT people on your roster, which was interesting, but I definitely expect a few picks, including a few in each brand's top 10, to come from the NXT roster. Do you have any thoughts on who those may be?
I think Finn Balor's coming up.
Oh yeah, it's time.
I think American Alpha's coming up.
Also time.
I think Bayley is on her way up.
Yep.
I don't think Hideo Itami is going to spend a lot of time in NXT before coming up. It seemed like they were big on him before his unfortunate injury. And, mm-hmm. You know, he will probably get some time to tune up, and I can't see him sticking around for too long. Shinsuke Nakamura, I think eventually you have to have him working on the main roster, even if it's on a temporary basis. And I think his friendship and affinity for, you know, Daniel Bryan make him an excellent candidate to appear on SmackDown at some point. Maybe even if it's just an exhibition, or, you know, doing that Undertaker like appearance where he comes in to kill somebody as a favor to Daniel Bryan, you know. But you know,
that would be that would just be amazing. Like, you know what? The way Teddy Long used to use Undertaker, like, you're gonna have a match with The Undertaker, like, with Shinsuke. Shinsuke's entrance hits, the guy in the ring is like, I'm about to get my head kicked off. Huh.
Yeah. This having the fear wash over them.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Balor, Bayley, American Alpha, maybe Itami, maybe Nakamura. I mean, there doesn't seem to be a ton of people that scream ready to me. Maybe there's are people that I'm missing that you can fill me in on. But I think there's a lot of people that should spend a little bit more time in NXT.
Balor, Bayley, and American Alpha are kind of my, like, locks. Like, they are the people that I believe are getting called up. They're going to get drafted in that first round. And they still haven't told us how drafting tag teams will work. I mean, it's a really weird thing. So, again, watching the 2002 draft, WWE was changing their own rules during the night. Like, I think Ric Flair, with his second pick for Raw, took the NWO. And then later in the show said, well, I want the best tag team in the world, so I'm going to take Bubba Ray Dudley. And then Vince took D-Von, so Rick couldn't get the rest of that tag team. And it's like, hold on, guys. Can we talk real quick? Because that's not the way... That's not the way drafts work. Like, or that's not the way it worked earlier with the NWO. What's going on? How does that work? And I wonder about that with, say, American Alpha getting called up. Does Brian step up to the podium and say, we pick American Alpha? But then at some point, Stephanie has to go, I pick Big Cass. And not Enzo. I wonder if something like that ends up happening. And it kind of frightens me. I just think breaking up teams in the draft is dumb. Just teams should, maybe even a separate draft for people registered as teams, like New Day. The club would be hard to do it with, but you could do it with Gallows and Anderson and not with AJ or something. And I would almost say that there should be a separate tag team draft for that division, and that would clear up any issues. That way you're not going, oh, well, I got New Day, so I got three guys, like you did to me that one time we tried to do a WWE fantasy draft like a jerk. But yes, I think Balor, Bayley, and American Alpha all go up. I don't think it's Shinsuke's time. I don't think Hideo Itami is quite recovered enough. He hasn't even been reintroduced on NXT TV, but I could be completely off there and he might be awesome again and we just don't know it.
I think he's been working house shows, but mm-hmm. I don't know when he'll appear on television.
And I my dark horse for NXT to look out for, people will laugh because I'm the only person that likes this act, look out for Mojo Rawley. I could absolutely see Mojo Rawley moving up to the main roster to do his tag team act with Zack Ryder that I get a kick out of, even though I shouldn't.
And I wouldn't be floored if Ryder got a renewed push as a result of the draft. He's one of those guys that has been underserved for years. You know,
yeah.
His talent has vastly outstripped the amount of creative effort that's been put into his character, and maybe, you know, he might have a lot to do with that too. I have no idea what his personality is like backstage or how easy or difficult he is to work with or any of that stuff, but I could definitely see the Rawley making his way up and continuing that team. It seems like splitting the tag division is going to create a need for, you know, additional teams, and so American Alpha filling that role, you know, the Rawley making his way up, maybe, I don't know, you know, I'm trying to think of another team that seems like they'd be on the cusp of making their way up. But
I mean,
the
revival is great, but it's not their time, you know?
No, it's not. I mean, It's a tough call. I mean, in terms of other dark horses, I think Alexa Bliss is pretty close to being ready.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, if we're ever going to see, Ciampa and Gargano make their way up to the main roster. But I would like to see more guys from NXT, make special appearances on either show, just to fill in time. Because it seems like there's going to be some opportunity with the rosters being split and being thinner where, it may be necessary to bring people up to have a look at them to see if they're, ready to go.
And you could even do a thing where William Regal, general manager of NXT, has negotiated with Stephanie McMahon. They're going to do an NXT showcase match for 3 weeks leading into the next takeover or something. Something that could burn, put a good match on Raw, put wrestlers that some fans know and care about, expose these wrestlers to a wider audience, and burn a few minutes off of Raw. Because I think filling that 3-hour show is going to become a weekly struggle. So we talked about now surprise picks with NXT returning stars. Where do you see chances to elevate stars? Like, who are the guys, say, and obviously, if you took Enzo as your number one overall, Enzo's your new main eventer. But no one's, realistically, who are the guys that you could see getting elevated out of this? And how would you handle that in the draft as far as their draft position goes?
I really hope it's a launching point for like a Kevin Owens. I think he should be a main eventer on whatever brand he lands on. And the same goes for, I think Sami Zayn. I think they've shown enough confidence in him in the limited amount of time he spent on the main roster to where, he should be in and around a title picture.
And those guys are being, you can see they're well taken care of. Like I don't think they've abandoned them in any way, especially post WrestleMania.
No, not at all. And, I don't know what it's going to mean for like a Cesaro or, like a Baron Corbin. I think those two, if they just had a little bit more character development, they're on their way. It's like they're not far from where you would hope they would be as, at least the upper mid card. But what happens to all these tag teams? Does the Wyatt family get split up? Does New Day get split up? I think Xavier Woods is massively underutilized in this, and so is Big E. I don't know what the ceiling is for Kofi. It seems like he has thrived in an environment where not a lot of individual pressure was placed on him, but he wasn't really thriving as an individual wrestler when there was pressure on him at various points in his career. There's a lot of questions that would need to be answered for that. It seems like they're just kind of throwing things against the wall at this point for mid-card challengers. You have, Zack Ryder challenging for the U.S. Championship, and then, Darren Young is going to challenge for the Intercontinental Championship. And
what a weird group of humans. On my list, I definitely think we get a high pick for Cesaro. Owens, like you said, Owens and Zayn, I think are a high numbered pick no matter what. I think Cesaro is a guy, you take him in your top 10, in your respective brand's top 10, and it's a statement. It says, especially, I kind of think he'll be on SmackDown again because it's the show Daniel Bryan is shaping. And I, in storyline, obviously, but I see Cesaro being a SmackDown guy and getting a chance there to really shine, like basically getting the chance to, as he said, grab the brass ring, to go and get it and seeing what happens. Because you can give him a high draft number and say, even have the commentators, if someone in the last 16 years has watched an NFL draft, to say, I think that, JBL, I think that was a bit of a reach for Cesaro. I don't see him quite at that level of Michael Cole. Go, well, if you believe in him, you want to make sure you get the star you want. Like, you need to reach out and get him wherever you think it is. And if you think he's that caliber of talent, you go for it. And that's what we saw Brian and Shane do. I think there's some interesting chatter to be had that way, and I definitely think Cesaro's a guy who could benefit from that, because Cesaro's mic skills don't elevate him. Cesaro's in-ring elevates him, but his mic skills don't. There's still something missing personality-wise. He's a stripper now, and they could actually make a little bit more of Cesaro that way.
Was that the only one afraid that they were going to turn him into like that weird jackass party boy gimmick where he just show up and dance for no reason?
A little bit. I mean, I'm afraid of that with every wrestler in WWE. Brock Lesnar does it amazingly, though.
that he does. But there's other guys that I think, as you know, when they're all jumbled up towards that upper mid card, they kind of get lost in the shuffle. But Alberto Del Rio, I mean, with the right reboot of his character, could be a major player again. I mean, there have been various points in his career where he was very good. A guy who's out, but I mean, could be returning. And yeah, I guess I don't know what the timetable is, but I'm assuming in the next few months is Neville. You know, he could be a resurgent.
He I believe wrestled a dark match on SmackDown tonight.
Yeah. So he could be a part of the post-draft world and fill a valuable spot on the roster. I think WWE probably has issues with his thick accent, but I think when he's been tasked with talking, he hasn't been as bad as many people thought.
So. He did really well on NXT. I mean, you look at him as the top guy on that NXT show for a while. He did well not just as a babyface, but as a heel. When he was the pseudo-heel to try and stop Sami Zayn's dream from coming true, Neville did a really good job. So I think Neville's a guy. I see Charlotte and Sasha going in the top 10 and hopefully like very high. I think if those are the women you're behind, and WWE has kind of shown that those are their flag bearers, not to take the Battleground commercial out of context here, but that those are the women that they want at the forefront of that women's division. I think Charlotte and Sasha, you have them be top five picks on each brand or on whatever brand they're going to be on. This takes me back to the 2002 draft show, watching it when Ric Flair picked Lita as his 10th pick. And you had Vince McMahon say, "You wasted your pick on a woman?" And I was just like, you know, we've come a long way. I hope we're past that. Like,
yeah, definitely. I haven't been particularly impressed with Sasha since her return to television.
The story they're telling there is bad. But yeah. I just hope that. I guess I look at the positioning, and I think when WWE gets the chance to position them well, they tend to do it. I'm definitely giving WrestleMania a lot of weight in this, as far as kind of the last time WWE had the opportunity to say, this is how we view the women's division, not with storytelling, which they're bad at in general, but with show positioning.
Yeah, for some reason, I envision one show getting Charlotte and maybe Becky Lynch as a babyface lead. And the other one probably getting Sasha and having her be the boss as a heel, and probably getting Bayley.
I don't think I think too many people cheer Sasha for them to want to turn her heel, but Bayley is definitely the person to do it against. I'm kind of similar. I could see, honestly, those four being in the top 10 draft picks on respective rosters, and I think that would be awesome. Like, I think that's what should happen, and if WWE is smart, they will do it. But let's talk about who's going to fall in the draft. Like, who we see, I don't want to say being hurt by where they are drafted, but like we were talking about with John Cena, where you'd think he was the perennial number one draft pick. You don't have him going number one. Like, how does WWE explain that story-wise, and how do they... what other guys do you see falling in a similar but not as major way?
I don't think anybody's going to be in a hurry to draft The Miz or Sheamus. I just don't. Maybe I'll be wrong, and you know, but I see them both having fairly low stock at the moment. I know The Miz has been very good. I mean, I
dare I say he's awesome.
pretty high on what he's been able to do. I don't know if having Maurice back has really added a ton to his act, but I think maybe just because of the championship, we'll see him end up getting fairly high on the draft list because of that. But from a character standpoint, we haven't seen a lot of growth from The Miz in quite a while. He just tries to find new and innovative ways to get under your skin, which is, that it has its perks. But I think he, as soon as he outruns his usefulness and they have, somebody else in mind to win that championship, he'll probably fall back to, mid-card hell again. It's tough to say, guys like Mark Henry, where does he end up? I don't think anybody's going to be in a hurry to draft him just because, and Kane, those are guys that they'll end up on a show and be a part of a roster, but they're both in the twilights of their career.
Big show as well. When you're talking about those two, just throw in the third horseman of largeness there.
Yeah. It seems like the rest of the roster is sort of passing them by in terms of, just generationally and the body type that is typical to younger wrestlers that isn't really shared at all with the big men of the past. And I don't think a lot of guys have worked with anyone of that size, on a regular basis. And so generally when they're in the ring, and there are times when, when Kane is able to surprise me in terms of being, generating some decent chemistry with different acts. But I can't remember the last time I saw a Mark Henry or Big Show match that actually got me excited about anything. So that's tough. Titus O'Neil, it seems like he came off with suspension. He got an opportunity, didn't really do anything with it. I mean, he didn't really show much growth as a character. And I know I think it was the July 4th episode of Raw, he stomped on Rusev's collarbone pretty hard, and that wasn't looked upon very well backstage. And so, there's issues with him. I could see his stock falling. I mean, I don't know. Who do you have in mind for this as well?
Things I found interesting. WWE, you almost wish there were five brands, not so we could watch them all, not that, but because they could easily build, have five number one picks in a way. And I wonder how a guy like Brock Lesnar deals with not being that first round pick. And I still think he could be because of the Reigns suspension that's thrown what I think is things into disarray. I think Lesnar is an easy guy to put in. He's tough. He's legit. Boom. Brock Lesnar's our number one pick on Raw. AJ Styles or someone like it on SmackDown, or John Cena on SmackDown, you're done. But Brock not being number one, I see offending Brock. I think it should offend Brock. Brock should be upset about that and demand, more pay than whoever number one is getting or something like that to make it work. So I could see that. Undertaker is an interesting guy to me with this subject, because I don't know if Undertaker gets drafted. He's still listed on the WWE roster page. Thus, he shows up when you go into their My Fantasy roster thing. But if I'm WWE, like you were saying with Brock, have him do that Undertaker thing. I don't put Undertaker on a brand. I have Undertaker show up where Undertaker wants to be that year. And Undertaker's, if he's still doing WrestleMania matches, we're building it on SmackDown this year. We're building it on Raw this year. Wherever he fits, wherever you slot him in, that works. Randy Orton's a guy who I could see falling pretty low. I don't know how excited fans are going to get about the draft pick of Randy Orton at 3 or 4, and Randy Orton seems like a backside of the top 10 for me. But when you look at where Orton should be as far as stature goes, he definitely seems like he should be in that front end. But I don't know that he should, that the way WWE has told stories with him and around him, even before he was hurt for a very long time, I don't know that he would be put there. So those are kind of the guys on my list. Aside from, like you said, Henry, Kane, Big Show, those guys who end up places but don't end up doing much. I wonder where a guy, if they're drafting all the Wyatts separate, where does a guy like Braun Strowman go? Does Luke Harper go anywhere, or do they just not mention him and Harper is saved for post-draft? Like, there's so much there that I want to see what WWE does with a lot of it. And then, and then I'm just sort of curious where a lot of the women end up actually going in the draft, because you need to sprinkle them into the roster. You can't, again, ideally you'd say, here's our separate tag team draft, here's our separate women's draft, here's our regular draft, you know, here's our singles heavyweight draft or whatever, but WWE isn't going to do it that way because it's probably too complex to set that up, which is depressing because then you do actually get multiple, number one drafted tag team was the New Day. Number one draft pick for the women's division, in a shocker, Sasha was picked over Charlotte or something, while Charlotte's the champ. You can tell a story with that, but WWE will likely not take all of those opportunities. So that's just my, that was a bit of a ramble, I'm sorry, but on my kind of who falls and the stories coming out of people falling down the board, that's what I see. And also things like, you know, if Owens is taken after Zayn or something like that, I see that being very upsetting for him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and then you have like, what happens with the social outcasts, or what do you do with Chris Jericho, or like, there's a lot of you know, if you want to try to tell a story with people being offended by their, you know, the where they fell in the draft, like Chris Jericho seems like he would be on the top of your list, just of guys who would have, you know, endless amounts of words to chew on to air his grievance about that. Do they split up any tag teams? Like, does Bray Wyatt end up alone on a brand? You know, what does that do for him? You know, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of interesting scenarios that may or may not play out depending on how they deal with factions and tag teams and whatnot.
Yeah, I there's a lot to play around with breaking people up. There's a lot of movement that will happen. I mean, next time we talk, it's going to be after the draft. Like, that's exciting. I'm legitimately excited. I'm subscribing to Sling TV for at least the night of the draft so I can legally watch the Sci-Fi Network or USA, where it's on now. Not the Sci-Fi Network. That was old SmackDown. That's how long it's been since I've watched SmackDown.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. Like, so that's going to be really fun. I guess, do you have one final wacky prediction for the draft? And anything you just want to toss out there that you think would be fun that they won't do?
It's not something that I don't think they won't do, but I think we may see, you know, with Daniel Bryan returning, we may see both Bella Twins re-enter the draft, much to your great amusement.
God help us all. That would be beautiful. Yeah, I don't know that Bree's going to be back that soon, but I mean, I'd be fine with it. It would be a great total Bella's shocker.
No doubt. But I can't think of anything wacky aside from, I think it would be fantastic if they found a way to, and maybe not make him a, you know, I don't know how the draft pick works, because, you know, there's this funny thing where, like, you get drafted and then, you know, do you still have to, like, do contract negotiations? Like, how does that work if Brock Lesnar gets drafted? Like, does he have the ability to haggle? Like, if somebody from NXT, like Samoa Joe or Shinsuke Nakamura gets drafted, are they able to just, you know, I'm only going to appear once a month, you know, or, you know, whatever the case may be, as like a special attraction. Like, I think there's room for, if they don't want to have guys make permanent moves from NXT, they could definitely, you know, make those kinds of arrangements where they appear and for special occasions and whatnot.
Yeah, the wackiest thing I can think of is Rusev declaring, like, his brand officially Russian or something, especially if he's on Raw. I don't quite know how that would work, and he's Bulgarian, so let's go with that. But yeah, it's not all that wacky. Or Baron Corbin gets drafted to one brand, but the Dre gets drafted to another. That's something I would watch. Or Alicia Fox is a top 10 draft pick.
That would be insane. Or Eva Marie or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that'll wrap it up for us this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again post-draft. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!